Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words that I speak this morning would be your words and not mine. Help us to understand, O God, that the story that we deal with today paints a very clear picture as to why we should not judge, why we should be patient. Let those who hear and receive these words receive them not only in their minds and in their hearts, but deep in their souls, O God, that place where only you and they go. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. All righty. Today's message is coming from the 13th chapter of Matthew. It's going to begin with the 24th verse. I'm not sure when I'm going to stop, but it will come to an end at some point. Jesus told another story. God's kingdom is like a farmer who planted a good seed in his field. And that night, while the hired hands were asleep, an enemy came and sowed thistles all through the wheat and slipped away before dawn. When the first green shoots appeared and the grain began to form, the thistles also showed up. The farmhands came to the farmer and said, "Sir, that was clean seed you planted, wasn't it? Where did all these thistles come from?" The farmer answered, "Some enemy has done this." And the farmhands asked, "Should we weed out the thistles?" The farmer said, "No, if you weed out the thistles, you'll pull up the wheat too. Let them grow together until the harvest time. And then I'll instruct the harvesters to pull up the thistles, tie them in bundles for the fire, and gather the wheat and put that into the barn." Now in another story, Jesus said, "God's kingdom is like a pine nut that a farmer plants. It is quite small as seeds go, but in the course of years, it grows into a huge pine tree, and eagles build their nest in it." Another story, "God's kingdom is like a yeast that a woman works into a dough for dozens of loaves of barley bread and waits while the dough rises." All that day, all Jesus did was tell stories. His storytelling fulfilled a prophecy. "I will open my mouth and tell stories. I will bring it out into the open things hidden since the word's first day." At that point, Jesus dismissed the congregation and went into the house. His disciples came in and said, "Explain to us the story of the thistles in the field." And so Jesus explained the following. "The farmer who sows the pure seed is the son of humanity. The field is the world. The pure seeds are the subject of the kingdom. The thistles are the subjects of evil. And the enemy who sows them is evil itself. The harvest is at the end of the age, the curtain of history. The harvest hands are the angels. The picture of the thistles being pulled up and burned is the scene from the final act. The Son of Humanity will send angels to weed out the thistles from the kingdom, pitch them into the trash and be done with it. They are going to complain to high heaven, but nobody's going to listen. And at the same time, ripe, holy lives will be matured and adorned in the kingdom of their Creator." Are you listening? Are you really listening? Now, if you all are thinking that this story this morning is about the end times, and if you think this is about hell and damnation, you're wrong. Amen? You're wrong. Yes, it is a little bit about the end of times, because Jesus already talked about that. You're familiar. It's one of our core beliefs in the church, remember? "I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was naked," or as you say here in the South, "naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me." And everybody's going to sit there and go, "Yo, Jesus, when did we ever do that to you?" And what's Jesus' response? Whenever you've done this to the least of mine, you have done this to me. So we already know what the judgment's about. Has nothing to do with being a born-again Christian. Ouch. Has nothing to do with whether you've done everything in your life letter perfect. Amen? It doesn't even have anything to do with whether you went to church or not on a regular basis. It does have a lot to do with what your relationship with God is and what you do because of that relationship with God. Now, understand why Jesus told this story. First of all, the scripture tells us he was telling a bunch of stories that day. And all of the stories that he was talking about at that time was what? He was trying to decide, help people understand what the kingdom of God was like. Amen? You know, if you missed the pine nut, for those of you who are from old church and the older translation, that's the mustard seed story. Okay? But I kind of like the pine nut because I've got three pine trees sitting out in my house that are huge. And when you see what they came from, you sit there and go, wow. You know? It's even more impressive than the sunflower. But listen, if Jesus is telling a bunch of stories to tell us what the kingdom of God is about, then what we need to consider is, what is he telling us about now? And you see, that's where this story becomes important. Because you folks know, and for those of you out in listening land, I have 5 points today.
Okay.
Five.
Only five.
Only five. And I'm going to go through them relatively quickly, because somebody told me that I preached for 36 minutes last week, not to scare the folks.
In 30 minutes, the week be higher.
Amen. All right, here's the first thing that you know. You know that Jesus teaches us to do what? Instead of evil, but good. To do good. Amen? So you know that you're supposed to bless instead of curse. You're supposed to praise instead of criticize. Ow. Think about that the next time you go to criticize somebody and what they're doing. I mean, how many of us would feel much better about ourselves if somebody praised us instead of criticized us?
Amen.
Amen. You're supposed to help instead of stand off to the side. You're supposed to love instead of hate, to forgive instead of resent, and to tell the truth instead of lies. Okay? So we know that, right? That's what we're supposed to do. Now, what becomes the problem with this story? When you think about that story, when you listen to it, and, you know, we've got a garden in our house. Billy's out there with the rose insecticide, killing the bugs that are on the roses. Amen? You know, there's an insecticide to put on the tomato plant to keep the bugs from eating up your tomatoes. Amen? And then you got to sit there by hand. There's some little bug that gets on these one flowers and kind of glues it together so the flower never blooms. And they just kind of eat up the plant that way. There is a certain thing about gardening. And we do, as gardeners, want to protect whatever it is that we're growing. So, in Jesus' time, you can only imagine how important a wheat field was. That they had to get as much out of that field as they possibly could. So Jesus wasn't just talking to be talking when he talked about planting that field. But in the process of planting it, what happened? Weeds got into it. And I get that. I mean, I see it in our house. Billy, when he put the plants in this year, did not put one bug on the tomato plant. They seem to have found it. Amen. We've got grubs that crawl up under my porch, so I know how they got into flowers. They're just there, folks. And you do your best. Now, the problem, though, with wheat and thistles, apparently as they grow, they kind of look alike. And so the folks that are putting in the seed go immediately running to the farmer and said what? Hey, well, did you notice that? Did anybody catch that? I mean, I call it the sarcasm of the church. Amen? Okay? The pastor preaches a sermon, right? And then somebody who listens to that sermon, I don't know, becomes homeless or loses their job or something, right? And somebody else in the congregation goes to the pastor and says, geez, your sermon didn't do very good. Well, it must not have been the Word of God because there's still trouble in your congregation. They went to the farmer, these people that are working for the farmer, and said, hey, didn't you put good seed in the ground? What's the matter with you? You must have put bad seed in the ground. Hence, you know, don't we all live with that? That's what we deal with all the time. It's usually what sets us on edge. Is nobody comes at us and asks us just a question straight up front. They ask a question like, you know that they think you did something wrong. Amen? Yeah. You know, I always love it when people come to me and they go, show me in the Bible where it's okay to be a homosexual. And I usually say, show me in the Bible where you were told to ask that question. Amen?
Amen.
Show me in the Bible where it says that if there's evil amongst us, that we're supposed to root it out. Show me in the Bible where it says if somebody is downtrodden and doing drugs or has an alcohol problem or is divorced or is having relationship problems, that we're supposed to cast them out. Show me in the Bible where it says that. Now you're beginning to get this story. Over the years, and I wrote this down because this was, you ever have this, how many of you, you know, when you take a shower, is that your greatest moment of thinking is in the shower? I mean, there are some of my greatest thoughts. So I wrote this down after I got out of the shower. I figured out that I have known in my lifetime people who have committed murder, people who were cheats, people who were thieves, people who were adulterers, and I've come to one conclusion. I don't know what's coming next. All I know is that God is introducing me to God's people. You hear that? Do you hear that? We meet all kinds of folks. I want you to hang on to this thought today. When you meet people that strike you as evil, I want you to hold on to that when you feel yourself out of reach with God. I want you to hold on when you watch the news at 6 or you walk into a courtroom to face the judge. I want you to hold on to this and see when you see neighbors gossiping or taking things of yours that don't belong to them. I want you to hold on to the fact that God is with them all. That they are the thistles. See, the lesson here is this. No matter how clean the ground, no matter how good the seed, no matter how good the teaching, there's going to be junk that appears. And you know why there's going to be junk? There's this, the great story, you know, there's a book written years ago. It was called Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? All right, here's the answer to that. Because God gave us a free will.
Dog just took off with a pie.
Animals included. Hey, he needed to be fed.
Hallelujah.
He's got a dish now for the food.
When bad things happen to good people. This is what this parable is about today. It's not about prophecies or the ultimate destruction of an evildoer. It's not because it teaches us about blights in our lives or that weeds suck up all the nutrition. It's not even really about farming. It is about patience in the face of evil. It is about faith in the face of our desire to make judgments about other people. We don't know what's going to come next, and nor can we pin down where God is and what God is about. In fact, we can't even be sure. Now listen to this. We can't even be sure that what we are calling weeds
are weeds
are actually weeds. Amen. Did you know, for example, that Moses was a murderer? David was an adulterer, a fornicator, a murderer. And we trace everything through Jesus back to David. The Apostle Paul was a religious vigilante who stood by while people were killed in the name of religion. Peter, the disciple, was a hypocrite and a coward. What do you think? Who would think that God would work with those folks? That God would be present with them, that God would love them, that God would make them great? What judgment have you got on yourself this morning? How often do you stand in front of the mirror and go, nah, this ain't working. I'm not good enough for God. If you pull the thistle out, you're liable to get the good stuff. But here's the other piece. If you don't give yourself enough time, you might not bloom either. You know, when our tomato plant started growing, Billy and I sat on the porch, and I think I said this last week, we watched flower after flower come up, and there was no tomato. And we were like, dang, maybe we should go out and buy a couple of different plants, because the one plant got really big, didn't have any tomatoes on it, and in a storm, it broke off. And then in the smaller one, the only tomatoes that it was putting out were these really tiny ones, right? And they weren't even turning red. We had three of them sitting in our front window that were green, you know, trying to do the hothouse thing. And, you know, they were just hard and whatever. But you know what? Another month has passed. And when you walk out onto my patio now and you go to that plant, it is loaded with tomatoes. And they are red. They are ripening on their own. And yeah, they taste good. Amen. It takes a little patience, folks. If you try to pull out what you think is bad, you might be making a mistake.
Okay. I'll say my question for a Bible study.
What's that?
I'll say my question for a Bible study. I mean,
you can say it now if you want.
Okay. Well, it's something, you know, I know you talk about having patience, but what do you tell a person that says God is not there? I mean, I know this about them. They need to have patience. But what would you tell them?
They say that God isn't there.
Right, because of everything that's going on with them, they feel like God isn't there.
If you got time, tell them the story of Jacob. Remember Jacob? He went through all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was. I mean, it was just awful. I mean, there was war, and people were dying, and people were talking bad about him, and you know. There's the whole wrestling match. There's all of that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And at one point, Jacob goes to sleep and he has a dream. And he wakes up, and he wakes up saying the following. I wrote it down, too. I got to find it now. So I do this to... Huh? Yeah.
It doesn't blow away that way.
Ah!
Point number four.
Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Jacob woke up from his dream and said the following. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Folks, if people have, and I'm answering your question, if people have a free will, and God has promised us that God would not interfere with that free will, that means that people are going to make decisions that are not good for us. That means that people are going to do things that are not good for the relationship between each other. However, what God has said to you is that you do justice, that you act mercifully, and that you walk humbly with God. My answer to you, my friend, is when they say, where is God? The question, the answer to that is, where are you?
Amen.
God hasn't left. God hasn't gone anywhere. In fact, what's probably happened is they have spent most of their life trying to pull out those thistles. You know, churches do that, amen? You know, you got church leaders that are so busy making decisions based on belief or behavior, maybe even baptism. Matter of fact, we had three gentlemen that were here this morning, amen? Ready for church, right? Ready to celebrate a church service with us. They found out that the pastor was gay. They left. Amen? Pull that thistle right out of the ground. I would hope that they're going to know before the day is over they missed a hell of a service. Amen?
Amen.
Hell of a feast. Because the bottom line is that that's what the church has become. That's why Jesus told this story. Is that you? It is not for... She learned that she had a relative in her family that was burned at the stake in Switzerland. You know why? Because this gentleman had the wrong understanding about baptism. That's why. So they weeded him out and they burn it up. Think about that the next time somebody says to you, are you a baptized Christian? Have you been saved? You ought to ask them what wheat field they're living in. Amen? Solzhenitsyn. Do you all know who Alexander Solzhenitsyn is?
No.
Really? Oh, my God. He was a Russian
dissident.
He stood up against communism and almost got killed for his endeavors. This was years ago. He said this, and I quote, if there were only evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it were only necessary to separate them from the rest of us by destroying them. But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human being, which I suppose includes my heart. And for all I know, I may even be a weed in somebody else's garden. Maybe it's your garden. Brothers and sisters, this is the story that Jesus gives us today. It is not about end times. It is about living your life now. It is about understanding that you might be a flower in your garden, but you might be a weed across town, and nobody need to be cutting you out. God bless you this morning.
Amen. Amen.